Been asked a number of times when it comes to Sipuri Tzadikim, what are we supposed to take from a story of a Tzadikim? After all, many of the stories are way beyond our pay grade. And the Gemara says, Ein lemeidim in a maisa. We can't learn exactly from a maisa how to act. But the answer to that question is, on many levels, not the time to get into it, but it's kedai just to refresh and to discuss briefly. Baruch Hashem, we're hearing so many stories, and we want to know how to apply it and to make a lemaisa. How to make a maisa lemaisa. One of the things is to know what to strive for. Not to copy the ways of tzaddikim, but to have an appreciation of what it means, a little glimpse into the world of these great people. And gives us a cheshek to want to be like that in our own way, but a cheshek to reach such levels. Without hearing the stories of tzaddikim, it's very hard to imagine what it's like. What are the expectations? What are we capable of reaching? In what way does Hashem have nachas, special nachas from those who serve Him in a special way? That's general. But amongst the stories which we share, or which you hear outside of Malava Malka, we share about 10 stories every single time. It's kedai every once in a while to hear a maisa which you feel like it connects to you, just to take that maisa and put it in your pocket. It's hard to remember all the stories. If I myself, people ask me for stories, I see so many stories, I don't remember any of them because I'm always moving on to the next. But every once in a while, I'll share a story, I'll see a story, I'll put an asterisk by it, maybe one, maybe two. And I'll remember that as being like a story which resonated for me at this stage in my life, something. For whatever reason, you may not even have an explanation, but you hear the story and it clicks and you want to hold on to that story. Hold on to that. You don't have to hold on to it forever, but if you feel right now it speaks to you, it's a tkufa. You can have 5, 6 stories. Always kedai to have stories to share with others and to chaveirim, and you're on the road, and even if you have nothing on the tip of your tongue to share in learning, you share a story from tzaddikim. Something to keep in mind. Once in a while we come across a tzaddik which, although he doesn't outshine other tzaddikim, very unique mahalach, very unique derech, which you don't find by other tzaddikim. And the tzaddik tonight we're going to discuss the mitzvah Shem of Menachem Mendel von Vorka, who is the son of Itzkel von Vorka, who was a Talmud of Rabbuna from Shischa, legendary tzaddik of Itzkel. And his son, and he had 2 great sons, one was the first Amshin of a Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov David. And the second son, the younger son, was Menachem Mendel von Vorka. He was known as the Silent Tzaddik. Silent Tzaddik. And that's because he never spoke. Kemat never ever spoke. And although in his earlier years he was very much with the Chevra, and he spoke a lot, and he was a very ambunctious child in the beginning. In fact, once the Rebbetzin Rav Itzkel complained, and he says, Menachem Mendel's a little bit out of control. In fact, they used to make shidduchim when they were very young, and the shidduch was made with Menachem Mendel, and the future father-in-law saw him like riding on a donkey, or he was riding on an animal, which like a goat or something like that, and he thought it was like inappropriate. He wanted to call off the shidduch because of that. And so Rav Itzkel had high hopes for him, and he knew that he was a special shidduch he brought into the world, just like Rabbi Yaakov David was the first Amshin of Rebbe. Tremendous tzaddik. So he said to his wife, he says, okay, if you're not so happy with Mendel, so I'll make you a deal. You take Yaakov David and I'll take Menachem Mendel. As if to say, like, I'll put my bets on him. And in fact, as time went on, and Rav Yaakov David seemed to be like they would assume to be the Mamalamakam, the one who would take over in the city of Arka from his father when his father passed away, Bitzikol. It didn't happen that way. And although Rav Menachem Mendel didn't want to assume the Rebbeishkeit in the beginning, he didn't want to be the Rebbe, and he pushed it off for about a year, half a year. And even in that time, there was somebody else who was Rebbe, a very close Talmud of Itzkel. The Oilam wanted Rav Menachem Mendel. They wanted him to be the Rebbe. And in fact, they had come with a group of Talmidim, had come to the Kutzker to discuss who should be the Mamala Makam of Rav Itzkel. They were Yedidei Nefesh, Rav Itzkel, and the Kutzker, both prime Talmidim, Rav Buna from Shischa. And Rav Menachem Mendel von Vorka, although he was very close to his father, he considered himself to be a Talmud of the Kotzker. And they came to the Kotzker, a group of Talmidim, and they asked them, who should fill the shoes of the great Rav Itzchokel? And they presented five different possibilities. And not on the list was Menachem Mendel. And he said, you have no idea. It was the Rishner. He said, you have no idea how great Menachem Mendel is. I have no idea who we're talking about here. And eventually, how it happened is that he was riding on a wagon. And there was already a big push. Even before he became Rebbe, he had like an oilum. They had a special name. It was like his chavraya. And, you know, he was very popular, although he didn't seem to be like, you know, greater than Rabbi Yaakov Dov, but he was the popular one. And he was riding in the wagon, and he turned to some of the chavra and he said, it says by the Akedah, Halayla Oila, it says, you know, Teshachti Yitzchak. And it also says, Atishach Yad Chalanar, don't shach Yitzchak. So, it's a stira, what are you supposed to do? So he put up his hands and he says, Vayhi Hadvar Maila, as if to say, like, I have no choice. Meaning, he didn't want to be the Rebbe, but he had no choice but to be the Rebbe. So he just said, Vayhi Hadvar Maila. Everybody realized that he was conceding, and everybody said, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. He used to say, though, that he wouldn't wish the Rabbanus upon his worst enemies. So he said, I wouldn't wish it upon my biggest enemies, I wouldn't wish upon them such a thing. He was Rebbe for 20 years, and he passed away at a young age, at 49 years old, he passed away. So some stories about Menachem Mendel from Varka. When he was a young child, so his father, Rav Itzchokel, he brought his two sons to Rabbanu from Shitzcha to get brachas. And Rav Bunim, he brought out what's called an English Shabir. And he gave it a cup to the Yaakov David, and he gave a cup to the Menachem Mendel. And he said to the children, he says, so how is it? Is it good? So Yaakov David was very proper, and he said, oh, it's good. However, Menachem Mendel, he took a sip, and he said, it's bitter. Bitter, but it's good. It's bitter, but it's good. So he says, he's going to be great. He's going to be very good. Bitter, but it's good. It's very deep.
He said this special shows last week.
Yeah? Oh, he said it last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it? Yeah. Bitter, but it's good. Yeah. But it's good. So, as we had mentioned, he wasn't always the silent tzaddik. When he became rabbi, he became silent. And he said this Torah. He said this Torah to explain himself. He said a few Torahs to explain himself. He hardly ever said Torah. He would sit at a tish with 3,000 people. 3,000 people at a tish. And it can go for 6 hours. He wouldn't say a word. He said that it was so quiet when he would give tish. And he wouldn't say anything. You can hear a pin drop. Not just a pin drop. You can hear the flies flying in the air. Because it was so quiet when he would say. And everybody had their eyes on the Rebbe the entire time, and they said his face was boyer ke'esh, but he never said anything. Kamat never said anything. But that wasn't his conduct before he became the Rebbe. He was a shmuzer, and was connected his teva almost. So this is what he did to explain himself a few times. In fact, my Rebbe told me that once, he was once walking, and somebody said, Rebbe, how come you're always so silent? You're always so quiet. So he looked at him. He was quiet, and then he continued on.
It's a bit of power.
Yeah. Yeah. A story, as a touch to that story, there was once a group of Talmid Chachamim who came to him to discuss a certain inyan. So they walked in, and he pointed to the chairs as if, you know, he didn't say anything. So he pointed to the chairs, so they sat down. And he sat at the table, the head of the table, and he was going like this. He was looking at them, and they were looking at him, and they were waiting for him to start to say something, and he just kept sitting there like this and looking around. Went on for 5 hours. He was like this. Then he got up. He said, okay, no. And he got up from his chair, and he walked away. And they said he answered all of our questions. Whatever questions they came in with, he answered all the questions. That was his way. So in order to explain himself in his earlier years, why it is that, you know, it used to be before he was Rebbe, everybody was hamish with him, and they could see him and talk to him whenever he wanted. But after that, he was behind closed doors most of the time. But like Kotzk, you know, the Kotzker, he also secluded himself for 20 years. He didn't mamish seclude himself, the Rebbe, but he hardly spoke. Publicly, Kamat never. So he explained himself to all of his friends who were upset about this. He said, it says in the Torah, And Vayiru Achi Yosef Kimeis Avihem Vayomer Lo Yisimenu Yosef. That Yosef's brothers saw that after the passing of Yaakov, their father, that Yosef was acting differently towards them, and they thought to themselves that Yosef hates us. So Rashi says, what happened? That they used to sit together and have, lunch, breakfast, dinner, Shabbos meals together. But as soon as Yaakov passed away, so Yosef wasn't a makar of them anymore. So he said, why not? What happened? What changed? So he said that once, when Yaakov was alive, so Yaakov was the Rebbe and Yosef was the Talmud. But as soon as Yaakov passed away and now Yosef is a Rebbe, he had to act like a Rebbe. So he couldn't schmooze and sit with the Chaver anymore. There's a conduct that a Mandik has to have, that a Rebbe has to have. And he says, to explain himself, the pshat was obviously that now he had become Rebbe. He wasn't going to be the same anymore. And to explain that, he once said, this is one of the first times he said, Barabbah. It says in the Medrash, and one of the coming Parshas Kairach, Chachmas Nashim Ban Sabaisa, that a Rebbetzin builds her home, and the Medrash says this is referring to Oin Ben Peles, the wife of Oin Ben Peles. Who was Oin Ben Peles? He was kind of sucked into the Machlekes with Kairach and Moshe. And she said to him, you're a fool. He says, Benkachu Benkach, you're going to be the Talmud. If Moshe wins, then you're going to be the Talmud. If Kairach wins, you're going to be the Talmud. So what do you have to gain by getting involved in this Machlekes? Just stay out of it. So Rav Menachem Mendel, he asked, he says, it wasn't such a goyinish chap, like, what, he didn't know that this svara? So this is what he said. He says, the reason why everybody wants Kairach is because Moshe was a person who was a manhik, and nobody had access to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was, his boy did this, he was 24-7 with Hashem, but Kairach was very hamish with the Olam, so everybody was like, we want Kairach to be the rabbi, because we want to have a rav like that, we don't want to have a rav who doesn't show himself to the Kaal. So what was her chav? So she said to him, what do you think? That Kairach, when he becomes a rabbi, he's not going to be like Moshe? He's going to be like Moshe too. So Ben Kaku Bencha, you're going to have a rabbi who's a rabbi. So it doesn't matter who wins, Moshe Kairach. Just because you see Kairach now like that, doesn't mean he's going to be like that always. So that's how, that was his very one of his first Torahs, and he said that, of course, to explain himself. But that was his Torah. Somebody once asked him, it was with David Kotzker, who was the son of the Kotzker. He says, how come the Olam wants to come to you so badly? Thousands of people would come to him. He says, you don't say anything, and people coming to you. So he just said the following pasuk. This is how Vayas Moshe kashativa Hashem Maisai. Moshe did what he was told to do. And the next words in the next pasuk say, Vatikohel Ha'eda. And the Eda gathered to him. It's not because of anything which you have to say or to do. If you do what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants, then batikah, then the oilim come. There was once a group of Talmid Chachamim who had come, and it was almost like a challenge to try to get Rebbeinu Nachman to say something. They enjoyed the opportunity. So once a bunch of Admirim came, and they decided that they were going to all share Torahs. And then Rav Nachum Mendel would have to say something. So every rabbi started to say something, and they were excited to hear what the Torah of Menachem Mendel would say. So this is what he said. He says, it says in the Gemara, Shimon HaMsuni darshened every single S in the Torah, until he came to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. And when he came to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, he didn't know how to darshan that S, the fear Hashem, he was pirish. He didn't darshan it. That's all he said. He was explaining himself. Basically, he says that I used to talk a lot, but when I came to real fear of Hashem, Es Hashem Elokecha Hatira, I was perish. I don't talk anymore. He had such a pachad and noira of what it means, the Yerushalayim that he had, that he didn't see that he can open up his mouth to Hashem. That was how he just quoted the Gemara, but with that explained everything. He would say sometimes just maybe one word, two words, three words, and then the oilim was hanging onto that word, and it fire, mamash, fire. Happened once that I heard this from my Rebbe, that he had come to Kotzk for a Shabbos, and one of his Talmidim who ended up succeeding him, so to speak, was the Biala Rebbe, the very first Biala Rebbe. And they were going to go to Kotzk for Shabbos, and the Biala Rebbe, amongst others, didn't want to go because Kotzk was a very small town with a lot of people, and water was very scarce, so they didn't want to use up a lot of the water. But Menachem Mendel said, I'm going anyways, my Rebbe, I'm going, and he went there. And, you know, the Kotzker Hasidim, they were very sharp, and they saw that Menachem Mendel had come, and he brought his entourage, and they were, like, a little upset that he was stealing the water, kind of. So, like, he was standing by the Omid, you know, close to the Kotzker, and this Chassid came, and he was, like, trying to, like, you know, have the fire, you know, the candles, which are lit by the Omid. So he took, like, his cigarette, and he was, like, leaning on Rav Menachem Mendel, like, to try to, like, light his cigarette from the Omid. So Menachem Mendel, he was leaning on him. Menachem says, "You're leaning on me." That's what he said to him. "You're leaning on me." He said when he said those words, he never left Menachem Mendel the rest of his life. When he said those words, "You're leaning on me," oh, "You're leaning on me." He leaned on him his whole life. He became a chassid of him, and he never left him his whole life. Kotzker used to say about him, "Ein oimer vein dvarim," doesn't say anything. B'li nishma koilam, you can't hear. V'chol ha'aretz yatzakavim, but the whole world knows about him. Pasuk we say, and to Tehillim, tell him your test, every Shabbos we say that pasuk. It's a story about his shidduch, actually, a very funny story. About his shidduch, that his father, Rav Itzchokel, he used to give out a couple of coins to anybody who would suggest a shidduch for his children. And even though the shidduch didn't go, he would still give some coins as a, you know, to express his appreciation for having some thoughts about his children. So once there was a yid who was a very successful businessman, and then he went broke. And he mamish had no food for Shabbos. So somebody gave him the eats, and he said, "Listen," he says, "go to the Rebbe, go to Rav Itzchokel, and present to him a shidduch, and you'll walk away with enough money for Shabbos." So he said, "Okay, I guess I have no choice. Where else am I going to get food for Shabbos?" So so he went, and he was thinking to himself, "So, like, you know, who should I propose a shidduch? Like, who should I?" So there was a yid in town. His name was Rav Hirsch. It wasn't exactly the most, you know, people didn't think him to be somebody great, although he was taka something special for Hirsch Leib. And so he went to the Rebbe. And he said, "Rabbi, I have a shidduch." He says, "Okay, would you have a shidduch?" He says, "It's Hirsch Leib." He says, "Hirsch Leib? Excellent idea. Done. Shidduch is done." Okay. So he was waiting. He was standing there as if he was waiting for his coin. So the Rebbe was like, "Okay, what else do you want? We'll make the shidduch." He's like, "But yeah, don't you give coins?" He's like, "No, I'm going to give coins. Like, you made the shidduch with you, so I'm not giving you coins. You know, I'm going to pay you shadchanis later, but I'm not going to give you the coins." So he had to tell him, "Rebbe, I really didn't mean it, you know." I really came for the coins. So he reached into his drawer and he took out a lot of money, gave him the shulchanas on the spot, and he says, here. But he saw, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh and everything came around. Like, this what he thought was the Shlemazel Shidduch, that was the one the Rebbe wanted. And the Shidduch was made, and that was a Menachem Mendel Shidduch. That was good. The very last Torah which he said before he passed away, he was sitting at the table at the tish, and he quoted the Gemara in Shabbos, which says, "Hoisef Moshe Yom Echem Yidaitai." Moshe added one day for Kabbalah Satayra. I was supposed to be on Vav Sivan, and he added another day, 51 days as opposed to 50 days. But he didn't say it like that. And he used to say Chazal like this. He used to break it apart. He said like this: "Hoisef Moshe Yom Echad." Moshe added one day, and then he paused. And he made like a shtickle krechts, and he said, "Midaita." Moshe added one day, and he said, "Midaita. Midaita." So the Bial Rebbe, his Talmud, he understood what that meant, and he says that he left the room, and he cried hysterically on the floor. And afterwards, he explained what the Rebbe had meant, because what the Gemara says, "Hoisef Moshe Yoimecha," the Moshe added one day, the Rebbe was referring to the Mishnah Avos, which says, "Shuv Yoim Echad Lifnei Misascha," to do tshuva one day before you die. And when the Rebbe said, "Hoisef Moshe Yom Echad," that Moshe was given, he added one day, he meant to say that he has just like one more day to live before he dies. And then he made a tefillah when he said, "Midaitai," that Hashem should give me the Yishev Adas till I die, that I shouldn't lose my Kelim, I shouldn't lose my Das and my Seichel before I die, that I should be able to have my Das until the last moment. The Gal Rebbe understood what he meant by that. Nobody else understood. And so he went on and he cried, but he understood this was his tefillah to Hashem, that his days were numbered. He passed away shortly after Shavuos. We were already still holding right after Shavuos. And shortly after that, he passed away. He said before he died, he said he was 49 years old. He says, when I turn 50 years old, you'll know who I am. Of course, he didn't make it to the age of 50. He says, if I turn 50, and later on, they had recalled that he had said that when he was younger, he said that if I reach the age of 50, if I reach the age of 50, I'll be able to bring Mashiach, because my name is Menachem, and the name of Mashiach is Menachem. He didn't live to 50. But he said, if I were to live to 50 years old, I would bring Mashiach. That's what he said. When did he pass away? He passed away on Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Baal Yischa, in the middle of Kriyas HaTayr, Vayihi ben Sah Aaron. Vayihi ben Sah Aaron, as the Aaron HaKodesh is going, when it leaves, that's when he passed away, during that Kriyas HaTayr. Amen.